Yes, Lord, thank you, Father, for this great and wonderful day we've had today. Blue skies, and sunshine, and warm weather. We just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing with us, cleaning us up, Lord, getting us ready for this great time ahead. And Lord, we just praise you and glorify you that you have placed it in us to endure in our faith to the end of these trials you've got us in, because we know it's going to be awesome. And Father, we just thank you that that baby is coming forth from Geneva very shortly. And we praise you, Father, that this baby is going to be a blessing to everybody around her. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight with us. Guide us and lead us into the things you'd have us to talk about, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all the healings and deliverances that's taken place. Thank you, Lord, for an open heaven tonight, too. Any circumstance that comes up, Lord, we know that we can pray and believe you and trust you to fulfill the things that we pray about. We praise you, Father, for that. Thank you for it, Lord, because you are a great, wonderful, and a loving God. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Somebody needs to put a smile on your face, glory to God, because it's a good and wonderful night. Amen. Here.
Amen, brother.
I don't know where it is anywhere about else. But. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Oh man, everybody's prayed up. Glory to God. Go ahead. Ray. Go ahead, Ray. Oh, that's all right. Go ahead, Terry.
I'll wait. Yep.
Okay. All right. Thanks, okay. Roy.
My friend Shireen, she lives up here in Emmett, Idaho, and she texted me early this morning, and she either has a bad case of COVID or the flu, but she asked for prayer.
Okay. What's her name now, Terry?
Shireen.
Shireen. Okay. Father, we lift up Shireen to you. Lord, we thank you that she has asked for prayer. She's got faith because she had faith enough to ask us for prayer. Bless God, she's healed in Jesus' name. We command this spirit of infirmity off of her. You go from her. I don't care what you call yourself. You got to go in Jesus' name. And the blood of Jesus moves you out of her right now. And all the symptoms, you go from her in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for good report from Serene in Jesus' name. Serene, you get up off that bed of affliction and be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen, Father. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
All right. Let's see. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that we missed the last few meetings because we came down with a bad cold. I'll call it a cold. I don't know what it was, but we're still getting over it, June and I. And we had our family together on the 19th, and our grandson had a cold. We knew that ahead of time.
He shared it.
And I came down with kind of a bronchitis, which was a little scary there for about a day or so, because it hit the chest, you know. But we prayed on it, and the next day it was gone. And of course, it's still in the head, but it left the chest, which was the good thing. So we're still dealing with the aftermath there. And our granddaughter, who is going to be one this coming Saturday, we're hoping that we are clear so that we are able to attend without, you know, any coughing matters, because we wouldn't go if we were. But that's kind of the prayer as well, that we stay on the mend and the Lord graciously bless us with complete healing so that we can attend our granddaughter's first birthday on this coming Saturday.
Amen. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to declare and decree you to be healed by the time you wake up in the morning, Lord of God. You're going to be, all the symptoms are going to be gone. bless God. And we thank you, Father, for your purification of your Holy Spirit going through both Ray and June to lift all this stuff off of them. They're going to, when their head hits the bed tonight, hits the pillow tonight, they are going to sleep all night long, wake up in the morning completely healed in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for Ray and June. Lord, they wonderful people of yours. They have the faith. We have the faith with them. And they trust you, Lord, that whatever you say in your word is going to happen. And we can declare it and decree it, and it will happen in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because everybody agrees with me, and it is done. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. Let's see. Who was first? Theo, I think, wasn't he? Or was you? Okay, Theo, go ahead. Go ahead, Phil.
Hi, everyone. So tomorrow morning, we plan to start heading east and make our first stop in Kentucky and visit my aunt. She has been put on a respirator, and basically her whole body's shut down. Her lungs are all black from bruising from that machine. And the doctors are saying that there is absolutely nothing that could bring her back. Except, you know, we know the Lord can do anything. But so she's out. The only thing keeping her alive is that machine breathing. And her husband, my uncle, he doesn't want to let her go. And we're just going to go down there and visit and let the Lord lead. And I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do there and how it's going to go. We're just going to leave it in the Lord's hands and be led by the Spirit.
Are they Christians that believe in healing?
They believe, but I don't know how much they believe, right?
Okay.
Yeah, they're Christian like all of us used to be, and very, very strict and very law-abiding, as far as I know, for most of their lives, because my uncle, he was very, very strict with, like, you can't have any words on your shirt or short sleeves or, you know, shorts, stuff like that. But very well versed in Bible knowledge. Just, I don't know how much faith, you know?
Yeah. What's your aunt's name?
So she's Yelena.
Yelena?
Yeah.
Okay. Like Leo's
wife? His name is Vladimir.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, can we pray for her?
Please. Please, thank
you. Okay. Well, Lord, not a difficult situation for you, because we know that when this happens to families, their complete trust now has to rely on you. And we praise you, Father, for doing this. We thank you, Lord, for taking them to this place and opening a door for you, your glory to shine upon this family. Lord, we lift up Yelena to you. We thank you, Lord. She's been one of yours for quite a while, it sounds like. Father, we just ask and we pray for guidance here on how to pray for her. I'm just going to do what the word says. And the word says, when you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it. In the name of Jesus, I command this infirmity off of her. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of death off of her. I command you to go away from her. I bind up all the attacks of the enemy upon her in Jesus' name. I bind up pharmakia from her in the name of Jesus. I command all kinds of witchcraft curses that has been spoken against her by the nurses and doctors and family members in the name of Jesus. I bind them up and cast them down as null and void. And I thank you, Father, that Yelena is healed, delivered, and we'll be singing your praises. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, because this fellowship here believes, Lord, and we thank you for it. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Yelena, come up off that bed of affliction and be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that it is done, even as your word said, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Yelena is completely healed, delivered, and set free from the wiles of the devil trying to take her life. And Lord, we thank you for the glorious return of Yelena in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
This is a new beginning for them. Father, let this be a new beginning, a new part of their journey, Lord. A new part of their journey being touched by your power, your mercy, and your love, and your healing power, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for complete rising of Yelena. Amen. Amen and amen. Does everybody believe that? Just y'all just pray in the spirit for a moment and imagine her coming up off that bed of affliction. Oh, praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your complete restoration of Yelena in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, that the devil's on the run once more in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God. It is done.
Amen, brother. Hallelujah.
All right. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother.
I got a praise.
All right, let's hear it.
One of our friends, they live down in Alabama, and they just had a baby today. And he's 7 pounds.
Oh, my. Awesome. That's good. Boy or girl? Boy? Little
boy. That's a boy.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Thank you, Father. What's his name?
Waylon.
Waylon Jennings. Okay. Come on, Waylon. Waylon. Yes. I bet he come out of Waylon too, didn't he? Amen. Glory to God. Okay. That's a good report, Nick. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, I think there's some more prayers. I might be mistaken that I want to pray with Theo. You can come back to me, Michael, because I was going to go something off topic. Whenever.
Okay, I didn't understand all that, but yeah, okay. All right, Ray, June. I think y'all was next.
I just wanted to add to the prayer. When Theo mentioned that his uncle wasn't ready to give her up, it literally just brought tears to my eyes. And I know when that happens, because it's uncontrollable, I get burdened for the uncle. That my prayer is that, Lord, you would envelop Theo's uncle with your love and your peace, that he knows that he can trust you and everything will be as it should be. Again, the word peace comes to my mind, that he will have peace of mind, and I seal it in the blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And he's not going to accept anything less than her complete, fulfilled glory that God's going to get from this. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, thank you for putting peace in his heart as well. Go, Missy.
Well, Theo, as Michael was praying, and then we were praying in the spirit, and just as June was praying, I yawned at least 6 times, I think, 5-6 times. And that to me is always an indication that the spirit of God is moving and answering our prayers. So be encouraged. And even my eyes, watered and teared up, too. So that's the Spirit of God moving. We just praise you and we thank you, Lord. We can't wait to hear the good report.
baby.
We know it's already done. We just want to hear it with our ears. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, I had goosebumps the whole time. So amen. I felt it too. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Lord of God. Lord's moving, isn't he? Go ahead, Isaac.
Can you hear me? I might have.
Yeah, we can right now.
Okay, let's try that without the video.
Okay, all right.
You know, I hope you guys will say a prayer for me here. Lately, in this last week, I've been just, these thoughts have been just coming, like, attack me. And I know they're fiery darts. And it's like they're trying to condemn me, but I know they're not thoughts of mine. They're not natural. It's like they just come out of thin air. And I'm constantly casting them down and saying, no, I have the mind of Christ, you know, and I'm quoting the word. And I think I recently sent you an email there, Michael, you and David, about, a dream I had and about me going to have to carry my cross. And ever since, I feel like I've acknowledged there's a cross for me to carry through some persecution. Man, it's like it's coming after me. And I don't know if I'm right, Michael. Maybe shed some light on this. But it's almost like if the devil can get me to act out in my flesh or get me to not be obedient, then I won't be obedient unto my cross too. And he doesn't want me to carry it. And so I've been getting attacked here and I've been casting down. But would y'all praise me on this? Because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know it to be true. And I know that it's done. And I need to carry this cross. And these thoughts, they have to go. And it's not any, it's just like, I don't know. It's just any type of thought, you know? And I'm just casting it down. And so if you can discern that for me or pray for me, whatever, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds like you're on the right track. Listen, any kind of thought against the word of God, you always cast it down. So that's good. Father, we thank you for these trials that you put us through. Almost all of us, if not all of us, are going through some sort of trial. And it's to work patience in us and to work this endurance to overcome the trials that you put us in, Father. And I praise you and I glorify you that you have given us the means to fight back against them and to defeat them. And that is the Holy Spirit that you have given us. And we praise you for that, Father, for the power and authority over all. You didn't say 50%. You said all the power of the enemy. That's an enemy. Bless God, we can command them to leave us alone, and they have to obey. And Father, we thank you for allowing us the privilege to go through these trials, because they do work patience and overcoming power that will be evident in the days to come. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Judy.
Lord, praise the Lord. I'd like to pray too, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
Father, I thank you for all these trials. I thank you, Lord, for my brother Isaac, and I thank you that he is being tried. And I know what it's like. And Lord, I just pray for him. I pray for all of us to be dressed up in your armor every day, that we get that helmet of salvation on our heads immediately and get that, you know, all the armor on, yes, Lord, and we use it. We don't just put it on. We use it, Lord. And Father, I ask that you cover our heads on the day of battle. We have the mind of Christ. We don't accept the thoughts that the enemy's firing in there. And we cast it down and we do it with authority. We cast it down. That means we cast it down with violence, with force. And we don't get double-minded about it. And we don't get uncertain about it. And we don't ask why it's still happening. That's been my battle. Why is it still happening? So thank you, Lord, that we don't listen to our carnal reasonings or other things the enemy puts in there, all kinds of doubts and double-mindedness and whatever it is, that you raise us up strong, Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might, Lord Jesus. We can do everything in you by your power, by your strength, by your word. Your word does not fail. It doesn't come back to you void. And it's just the Lord's just strengthening us all when we go through these things. It doesn't matter if it's spiritually in our minds, if it's against our bodies or whatever it is, we do not accept any of it in the name of Jesus. I cast down the demons of doubt, uncertainty, depression, disappointment, discouragement, lying, accusing, condemning, slander, everything the enemy is throwing at us in the name of Jesus. We command the angels to get this stuff off of us and strengthen us and encourage us, Lord, by your word, by your power of the Holy, your Holy Spirit working in us, Lord, and because we can't do it ourselves. And forgive us for thinking that we might be able to try it, Lord, because we can't. We need you every day for every battle, for every moment. And I pray encouragement over everybody in the body who's going through warfare, who's going through trials, who's going through whatever it is they're fighting. Lord, you are with us. You are in us. And we already have the victory. And the devil's defeated and under our feet, and he knows it. And he just lies. He's a liar. He's the father of lies, and all of his minions and every ranking demon. You're nothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for raising up your body to be the body, to be the body of Christ. And we help each other, Lord, and we minister to each other. We pray for each other. And I pray your hedge of protection around all of us, Lord, that we fight with the assurance that we already have the victory. I thank you and praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo. My. Go ahead, Gano.
I just got a text from Debbie, and she was planning on being on, but she won't be on for a bit. She may be a little late. She was asking for prayer for Crystal and her mother, Donna. I think they were over to her house, and she said they were really both in need of prayer. And so I thought I would have you pray for them. I don't really know exactly what's going on, but I, you know, it's probably some of the same things that we have heard. So I think that would probably be, dealing with unforgiveness and addictions. And I'm not sure what else is going on. I haven't talked to her today, but
okay.
She just asked for prayer for Crystal and her mom and really to thank the Lord because he is working in both of them. And especially Crystal is really wanting Jesus. So I guess that's the prayer request.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, looks like you're tugging at Crystal and Donna both. And we thank you, Father, for granting repentance to them and bringing them in a glorious way, Father. We praise you for that. And we pray for them, Lord. We pray right now that you would grant repentance to them. And we bind up the works of the enemy over their works. And we thank you for it, Father. We break the power of Satan off of Crystal and Donna right now. In Jesus' name, and we declare and decree you into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for granting repentance and bringing them both in Jesus' name. Lord, we have broken the power of Satan off of them. We thank you, Lord, that now they're going to come in, that they're not going to be hindered anymore from the enemy from coming in. And we praise you, Lord, for doing that for them. In Jesus' name, nothing gets done without our prayers, and we pray for them, Lord. Bring them in. Bring them in a mighty way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say it? Amen. Lord, amen. God, it is Father, done.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Both of them been through a lot, it seems like. And, Lord, we thank you for breaking that unforgiveness off of them. In Jesus' name, we command it, bind it up, and cast it off of them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Carol.
Hi, everybody. I want to lift up my nephew and godson, Gregory, and his girlfriend. They're going to have a baby in about a month, and they don't know the Lord yet, but they've been listening to some Christian country music, my sister told me. They've accepted my invitation. They're coming to brunch to, we're going to have like a brunch just to honor this pregnancy. So I just wanted to have prayer for an open heaven. I think that came to my spirit just to lift up this gathering on Saturday, God, that you would, your will be done, that my heart be positioned in with your words, with just your love, just to fill them with love, that they would know. I know my nephew has been drawn to you and then he had turned away, that this weekend would be an open heaven. I think that's all I want to say, is an open heaven, just like you called my sister and you woke her up. This is her son. I pray an open heaven. I just want to see you moving in Quebec and waking up the young generation from Quebec that does not know you, that did not know you before, but you know them, Lord. And I pray for this baby as well. And I pray that they would at some point have the conviction to be married, that you protect them, you protect this child. And I thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ I have here, and that we are just lifting them up and covering them in your holy name. I plead the blood of Jesus over them, and I thank you for your love, and I thank you for what you are about to do. I'm just anticipating. I'm excited, and I just want to say that in Jesus' name. For all of the children that are going to come to you, coming soon and quick. Amen.
Amen. Let it be a time of revival, Lord. Let it be a time where your glory comes down and brings them all in, Lord. We've seen that happen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Carol and her family there. In Jesus' name. Ooh, my. I believe you're going to see it, Carol. But I know you will. Glory to God. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I just found
out. Y'all have another baby in your family? Did you have another baby in your family? Is that what you fixed to tell us?
No.
Okay. What you got, bro?
I just found out some more information about the truckers. They're okay. In Oklahoma right now, but they're going to Washington now.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. They're on their way, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord. They get to Washington, they ain't going to find nothing. It's empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Claire. Thank you for that update.
I would love to pray for Gregory's little baby and his girlfriend. That's all right.
Okay.
Lord, it is so wonderful that you create life so miraculously. You do everything so beautifully. And you know which ones are yours, Lord, from before they're formed in their mother's womb. But now this little baby is there. And it has a grand auntie that is filled with the Holy Spirit and who is filled with the love of Christ. And it has a granny who has recently realized her place in this creation of yours and who knows who she belongs to. Father, I pray that you would give Carol and her sister the gift of faith for household salvation. I pray that, Lord, most fervently. I also pray that in the next few weeks, as Gregory's partner becomes or gets closer and closer to the due date, that she would know that there's no way that she can do this in her own strength. And I pray that you would give her that spirit of repentance and humility to know where she comes from and what her place in the world is. Because there is nothing more humbling for a woman than childbirth. And we are also blessed to go through it. And once a woman has given birth, she has such an intricate understanding, Father, of what it means to birth your son spiritually. And therein is the strength of the woman. So thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for giving Gregory's partner this very, very treasured understanding while she is yet a sinner. Father, I pray blessing over that family. I bind the forces of unbelief. I rebuke all doubt and fear of man. I rebuke all spirits of pharmakia that have maybe wormed their way into the situation. I pray for peace and calm. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Claire. I believe it's doing it.
Amen and thank you.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anyone else? Fabrian? I have some great news. We understand through the grapevine, Missy Pollock, that we have one lady from Michigan coming down to visit with us, this pot blessing. And I am so excited. Hey, girl, I wonder who that was. Amen. We're looking forward to it, Benita. We're going to have a parade and all that stuff for you when you get here.
I was just going to raise my hand and praise the Lord that he opened the doors. I was on the with the ladies on Friday. I said, I don't know if I'll be able to come. You know, grandma's in the hospital. Frank's got a procedure and Nick's got to go to work. And we all prayed. And I got off the phone and I went and told Frank, I said, oh, I don't think I'll be able to go down there because all this stuff's going on. I said, no, you got to go. You really just go. You just got to go. You haven't seen him ever. You've been on with him for over a year. Just go, figure it out. I'm like, all right, there it is.
Talk me into it. Amen. Yeah, we're looking forward to. When you be here, Thursday?
Yep, Thursday, yep.
Okay. And I'm glad she's going to be out of the house.
Oh, Nick, come on now. What you going to eat? Sardines while she's gone?
I'm going to have some sugar.
Oh, my. Anyway, well, we're looking forward to having you.
Thanks. Next I'm excited.
Next time you come down, Frank's coming.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Isaac, you're coming, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan for now, Michael. If it changes, I'll let you know, but I'm really, really hoping to.
Don't be speaking negative now.
Yes, sir. I apologize.
It's about time. No, we're looking forward to having you here, bud. I went up and looked at the cabin today that we have for y'all, and it's awesome. It's awesome. It's 3 bedrooms, one with a king, another with 2 queens, and one up and a big couch, and a wraparound porch right on top of a pond. Oh man,
we'll be there.
Yeah,
none deal.
Know you will. And March the 1st today is when they opened up the catch and take home the trout. It was catch and release, but now it's you could keep them. We didn't know what that was in Arkansas. We kept them whether it was catch and release or not. It's just one of them things. We get hungry.
I don't mean to keep on going, but let me ask a question. Is do y'all fly fish to get trout? I don't really know. Because
some do. Some do. If I won't be, I won't be fishing. I can't. I've got too much else to do. But when I trout fish, most of the time back in Arkansas, that's what I use is fly rod.
Oh wow! Nice. Cool. Thank you.
But most, I think all of them up here's got spinning rods.
Yeah, I used to do trout fishing too, and I just did it the normal way with the regular fishing pole.
With a cane pole, spinning rod. Amen. Did you catch any, Nick?
No.
No, you're not supposed to tell that on live TV, man. You can't be doing that on live TV. Okay, brother. You come up here. When you come up here with you, if you come up here with your mama, you'll catch something.
I'm not coming.
That's your problem. She's, we've got, I don't know, let's see, 8 to 10 people is going to be out there fishing up there at the cabin, but only 3, 4, 5, 6 stays up there, it'd be 6 people at the cabin. That'd be awesome. But we're having a, well, I won't telegraph. I'll tell you after the recording stops. Hallelujah. Okay. Who's next? I wish everybody, I tell you what, I wish everybody was able to come. I do. I do. Yeah, I do. Go ahead, Claire.
I just have a quick little praise. A few weeks back, we prayed for my mum and my dad, and then more recently, some of us have prayed for them because they plan a visit to us. And so we spoke to them. And this is just amazing how prayer works, right? Because it can only be the Lord. We spoke to my dad, and for the first time in probably, well, I don't know, very long, like he just laughed when he spoke to us, like, you know, not sarcastically, like he just had such joy when we spoke about the visit and how things should go. And it was, oh man, it was just so beautiful to have a conversation with them that was open and loving, and it could never have happened without the prayers of the saints. So thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Missy.
I have a praise report. I didn't know this until my mom mentioned it the other day on the phone. She had a doctor's appointment. I think it was yesterday, yeah. And she had said that one thing that she mentioned was that the doctors were thinking she might have myocarditis. And I looked at Merle, and we both knew right away, we're like thinking myocarditis, that's what people are getting with this jab, but she didn't have a jab. Anyway, and there was something else they tested her for, whatever, and she doesn't have either one of them. And I was like, praise you, Jesus. I know, like right away when we got off, I mean, just thinking in my head, and right away when I got off the phone with her, I'm like, nope, I don't receive that curse. That is not for my mom. And I want you all to agree with me about something. I had Merle agree with me, but I want you all to agree with me too. She was put on one baby aspirin a day and a new cholesterol medicine. And baby aspirin before has always caused her to, it depleted the iron in her blood. And she's always like, on the low side of what's acceptable of your iron level. And then she's always had bad side effects with cholesterol medicine. And this is one that they never tried. She hasn't tried anything in a long time. And this is my prayer. Father, I ask you that she find out quickly that these do not work for her, that they give her problems, so that she has to trust in you, Lord. like she had been before. And I just thank you and praise you that she not have any bad side effects, but she find out quickly that it just don't jive, because pharmacia doesn't jive with you, and you're the healer, and you're the protector and preserver of her health. And we just, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we're believing too, Isaac, that baby's coming tonight, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Geneva and the baby's going to get a good night's sleep, Lord of God. Michael, come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Oh my. Okay. All right. What else? Anybody remember what we said we was going to talk about tonight?
Rome, it was Galatians 5. I don't remember the exact verses. Hi, everybody.
Okay, yeah. Well, it was Galatians 5, 13 through 6, 1. Galatians 5. 13 through 6:1. And what I wanted you to do is look at it and see what's involved here as our walk with Christ. So I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing, but then we'll come back and hit the verses, and then we'll talk about each verse. That sound all right with y'all? Okay. For ye, brethren, I'm reading out of the ASV. For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. Listen to each word as I speak them out here. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another of another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Check them out. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things, check this out, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. And in Galatians 6:1, brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay. Those are some verses in here that's going to tell us something. A lot of something. So let's go. Does anybody see anything in the first verse here? Now, this is not a test. I'm learning along with you, but I've seen some things in here since I've brought this subject out. I've looked at it, and hopefully some of y'all have looked at it as well. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I thought that sounded different. For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. This is 13. For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. I'm going to go on and say the next one too. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what fulfills the whole word? The whole law, I mean. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, didn't he? So what's he talking about here? He's showing us how to do it, right? And the way to do it is how? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's how you, go ahead, Missy.
Well, one thing that really sticks out to me in thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself is that if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor.
Exactly.
And, you know, if God loves you, He doesn't love your old man. He loves the Christ in you is what he loves. And that's what we need to love in each other. That we need to see them the end from the beginning, just like God sees them. And that's how we can love them. It know no man after the flesh. So
also, every time you love as you're supposed to love, what are you doing? You're fulfilling the law. Amen. Yeah, Isaac, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand up, bro.
No worries, you're good.
I know that's right.
And that's what we're kind of talking about. You know, that's so important. You know, I probably didn't even mention that. But it is fulfilled through love. And, you know, we talk about his nature. We're supposed to have his nature, character, and story as name. And I don't want to get off subject here off Galatians 5, but I was just reading this the other day, and I was thinking, well, could have incorporated this, but didn't. But anyways, and this is what's so important here. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. And then he goes on in verse 5 saying, yea, for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, and in your faith apply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your knowledge and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness. And David just said this the other day on a ministry, and last week I looked at brotherly kindness. What does that mean? This literally happened to me, and it's so awesome because these things always, you know, listen to these podcasts, and you're going to see how there's no confusion in the word and how God will confirm it. Man, praise the Lord. But the word brotherly kindness is Philadelphia. And I just told Marianne, and I thank God because I could not have known this. I can read and not get it. It's just been my nature my whole life as a kid. But thank God he lets me, he lets me understand this word. And I look at Marianne, I said, the Church of Philadelphia, the word brotherly kindness there, Philadelphia. And you know, in Revelation, Church of Philadelphia is going to be brotherly love, going to be love, that nature. And you fulfill the law. And we didn't deny his name, his nature, character, and authority. Just thought it was really cool and wanted to add.
Amen, Isaac. Thank you for that. Anyone else? He's telling us if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you love like Jesus did, you're fulfilling the law. You are walking in the Spirit. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything about those two verses there? Or comment on them? All right, let's go to 15. Yeah, Carol, go ahead. Can't hear you.
Unmute. Okay, did that work?
I did, yeah.
Oh, good. I'm walking my dog, so it's like a new thing for me with the cell phone, and I'm in the snow, and I just was not going to share, and I could just feel God going, yeah, I think you should tell them that one. I was like, okay, Lord. Okay, so... I think the story does relate. I live in condo and there's snowstorm and there's ice storm. And if one vehicle doesn't move their car out so that the snowplow guy comes through, it will hinder them from doing their job to clear everybody's space. So the one that's right to my right didn't move her car, and it was like a snowstorm, and then there was an ice storm, and it took me 45 minutes to take the ice off my car to move it, you know, in an orderly fashion, and she hadn't moved her car. And so basically my car has been in the city lot for a week now, by the way, just so you know, because that's how bad it was. Because she didn't move her car, my spot did not get cleared, and it's extremely dangerous. And anyway, long story short, the association has this thing where it's up to us to tell our brothers and sisters, you know, to move their car if they didn't, and that we could charge them, you know, to clear it. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do that. That's not very cool. That's intense. But I really felt like I do have to speak up, though, because God is teaching me to speak up, because that was something that was suffocated on me as a child, right? A force came on and we weren't allowed to speak. So I'm like, oh, how do I do this without like being forceful, or, you know, how do I, anyway, Lord help me. So the association encouraged me to make that communication, as they would send an email reminder once again to all cars, please move your car, because it's not, you know, it's not okay for the other person. So I called the lady. Now this is the part that's really funny. So there's the flesh and then there's the spirit. And I submitted my whole entire being to the Lord. And what came out of my mouth was definitely him, but my flesh was kicking and screaming, saying, I think you should have said something else, but I was definitely happy I didn't. So I called her and I said, hey, so-and-so, just wanted to say that I noticed that you hadn't moved your car, and I wanted to offer to clear your car for you in the future and move it for you, since I'm already out. That's what I said. That came out of my mouth. It was just, I felt like I was like a double person. Anyway, but I knew it was the Lord. And she was like, so, oh, she said, I didn't realize it was causing any problems. I said, well, it's not. I said, you know, I said that maybe you couldn't get out, and I will gladly, you know, if you want, give me a key and I will take care of your car. Well, ever since, as soon as it snows, her car is moved. So did I lose you guys? Probably so. I can't hear you. Hold on. Let me just see if you can still hear me. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So anyway, so that's what happened. So instead of, you know, saying, listen, I know, menacing her with having to clear, I offered to clear her spot and move her car for her. Oh, let's go back this way, little guy. There's traffic here. So that's my part of the story, is that my flesh wanted to speak up and say, well, all kinds of menacing things. And I kept lying that down, and I knew I wasn't supposed to be quiet, but instead I opened my mouth and said, "Hey, it'll be my pleasure to clear your car and move it for you. I'm already out there anyway." So the message got through, and God is gracious and awesome, but it didn't feel good in my spirit, but I knew it was my flesh being crucified. And that is what came to me when you guys were sharing about Galatians right now. So that's enough. Bless okay. you and thank you.
I suspect you could have probably some other people here that would like to use your services if they're offered. We don't have that problem down here, but I'm sure we could find something for you to do. That's good. That's a good message, Carol. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Anyone else? Somebody else had their hand up, I thought. Okay. Let's go to 15. But if you bite, devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. What does that take you in remembrance of? Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. I forgot that I did want to say something about the previous verse.
Okay.
Until I looked down and it reminded me because I was engrossed in listening to Carol. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And what came to me was love one another as I've loved you. But Jesus fulfilled the law, right? The whole law is fulfilled in one word. And it's basically just saying, you know, love. But Jesus fulfilled the law, didn't he? And we have him in us. And he is love. And his love, what he did was the epitome of love. He laid down his life for us. That was his love. And, you know, like I said, what came to me is love one another as I have loved you. And that's the same thing. Thou yeah. shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's just, he's the one that fulfills this law in us, this law of love, you know, in us, you know? And so, yeah, that's what came to me.
Okay, yeah, that's a little more clear explanation. That's good. All right, anyone else? All right, next verse. Now, think of this spiritually speaking, okay? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another, of one another. What does that put you in remembrance of? Maybe sowing and reaping? Possibly. Whatever you sow, if you bite and devour somebody, guess what? It's coming right back at you. Right? Somebody shake your head. Glory to God. Don't do this to me. Now, y'all help out here. Okay, that's what I got out of that. Did somebody else get something else out of that? All right, we'll just move right. Go ahead, Claire.
At the risk of stating something very obvious, is it not slander? Is it not speaking? We're supposed to be speaking in love and faith. And if we don't, then we're not being love. So all slander, anything negative said about anyone is biting one another. I mean, it's called backbiting for a reason, right? So if you can't say anything nice, don't say nothing at all.
That's right. Where have I heard that before? Everybody's mama's always told you that.
That's off Bambi. Bambi and Bambi said that the bunny rabbit off Bambi, the cartoon. If you can't see. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, I was just thinking in terms of just what that verse makes me think about, the connections. One is, I don't know the exact scripture. I just am remembering the essence, but like the scripture about where there is like strife and division, there's every evil thing. So it's just like this sense of, you know, when we're operating in strife and division and backbiting, there's actual a spirit devouring, and that it's the opposite of love, edifies and builds up and strengthens the body. And it's just like the body turning on itself. It's not scripture, but it's making me think of like an autoimmune disorder. but those are just some thoughts that come to my mind. Yeah.
All right. That's good. Anybody else? All right, let's go on to 16.
So we can actually add a prayer to that, Michael. Sorry, again, okay.
Go ahead.
Father God, yes. I want to say thank you. We want to ask you to help us get rid of every single autoimmune disorder thinking we have in our bodies. And we thank you that you help us to submit all of our entire being to you, that when we open our mouths, even if we're in a battle, what comes out is the blessing, the binding, the rebuking, the casting down, every single weapon you have given us. And the battle is won, but there's just that, you know, that autoimmune deficiency thinking, that is what we are crucifying in this body of Christ. And we are going to continue to be well lovers of God, of course, and speaking love forward into the lives of our family, our neighbors, and Lord, even our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. You are a little bit too close to your mic, but we understood you were over-modulating a little bit. But that's okay. Go ahead, Benita.
I was just remembering a recent Bible study that I just heard that was talking about, you know, what Satan does is he's the accuser of the brethren, and we don't want to be the accusers of the brethren. So to not be backbiting and devouring one another, but because we aren't of Satan, we're of Christ. And so to not be of Satan, not be that way. That's all.
That's right. You know, I think I've told this before. Kenneth Hagin told about a guy in his town when he was growing up that he never spoke ill of anybody, never could speak ill of anyone. And one day, something happened to the man, and he got hurt or killed or something. Anyway, a bully of the town. And some men were standing around talking about him, telling what a bully he was and all that kind of stuff. And they asked this guy, he said, well, what do you think, Bill? And he said, he thought a minute. He said, well, he had pretty blue eyes. Turned around and walked off. That's the way God wants us to be. But we want to find out the juicy details, don't we? That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to turn around and walk off. That's a little bit hard for us growing up, because juicy tidbits is what we all in the flesh long for. All right. But we're not in the flesh, we're in the spirit. And if we're in the spirit, we love everybody. All right, Benita.
Yeah, I just, I guess there was that video we saw recently of, what was it? It was that lady that had a dream and, I can't remember it all. But anyways, it was just to not be condemning other people, and even just like saying somebody's dress is, you know, not flattering on her, or just simple things like that. But I don't know. I've
do
just
women
been.
Do that? Do women do that?
Not anymore.
No, no. Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, image of, yeah, that one. But anyways, I've just been, I've had a little struggle lately because the whole thing going on with Frank's grandmother and his cousin that's involved, Chip, you know, he's just done a lot of things. And here I am being an accuser of the brethren, but I'm just laying it out there right now to explain what I'm having trouble with is, you know, he's just done a lot of things to take advantage of grandma. And I, you know, people do that. They take advantage of people. And I'm trying to look at him differently, trying to see, I don't know, it's just, it's hard because I see what he's done to her and like, I just keep wanting to accuse him and not forgive him. I mean, I don't hold it again. It's like he can't help who he is or what he is or how he does things. It's just, it's in him to do it that way. And until he knows, until Christ reveals a different way for him, he can't do anything else. And so I've got to see him and forgive him and understand him through those eyes. And sometimes that's not easy to do. So I just need to work on that. I need the Lord. Lord, just help me just see him that way that he can't help doing what he's doing.
Yeah,
until he knows
he's guided by demons and he doesn't understand that. And so what we do, we pray against the demons. That's a good one there, Samuel. Talk to everyone like you're talking to God. All right, anyone else? When we sit around and listen to people talk about other people, it creates a lot of drama in your heart. I know when I go back to Arkansas and visit, it seems like, you know, you just pick up, you don't hear it here. But when you go out into the world, it's just like, good gracious, is that all y'all got to do? come on, you've got programs on TV that are called reality shows that all they do is sit there and bicker at one another. Then I've seen it where the demons were coming out of the TV, flooding the house. It's a sad commentary when we get entertained by drama in a household. Okay. Amen. All right, anybody else got something they want to say about this particular verse or the first three verses? All right, let's go to 16 then. 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to say it again. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right. Anybody want to comment on that one? Yeah, Andrew.
So I'm sure everyone has saw Pilgrim's Progress, but there's one verse that you really need for your progress, and it's in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. And it says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost of the earth. This witness here is describing walking in the Spirit, because you got to walk in this witness. This witness, you guys know all the witness that you have learned from the Lord through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches you the witness, and he reminds you of it. So this is a very key verse. This is the first verse where it says to the uttermost parts of the whole earth, and this is the first place where you know it's going to actually go to the Gentile nations too, to the people of the nations. And I would say that's walking in the Spirit. You know, it is, the Spirit is gives you the Lord in you. And of course, it goes on later talking about all these different portions of the Spirit that you get in the glory of God, in from love to all nine of them, love to self-control, which is a discipline. And yeah, so that's like I think a lot of people just read through that. I don't know, sometimes people might not really understand what witness means there, you know, in that verse. Because a witness is something you don't even have to say anything, and you could be witnessing with what you're doing. This is the type of witness that you will constantly have in heaven. All those fruits of the Spirit, that love, that behavioral quality will always be with you. And this is where it starts. So praise God, you know. It's a holiness thing. It's he that calleth you is holy, be ye therefore holy in all your behavior. And I need a lot of help with that. Because I got another letter from my sister. Anyway, I didn't read it yet, but I think it might be positive. So I may have jumped to a conclusion too quick. So I hope it's good. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
What comes to my mind is, for if you live after the flesh, you must die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. And also, the sword of the Spirit is the word, which Spirit is the sword of the sword of the Spirit is the word, which is the word of God, or something like that. Anyway, so if you're, what I'm saying is if you're obedient to the word, you're walking in the Spirit, because the word is the Spirit.
Yep.
And you're using the word to put to death the deeds of the body, which is, you know, the lust of the flesh, you know. And then it says, you know, down further, you know, what are the works of the flesh? You know, so that comes to me.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah, I've got some, brother. You know, through my walk, you know, of course, you know, before I came to Christ, you know, I had already developed a lot of these. You know, we all develop certain things according to the flesh. You know, but it reminds me of if I want to progress. And plus, it always left my, like, it left my spirit feeling dirty. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, man, why'd I do that? But you can just feel the results of that, is my point. But, you know, it reminds me of, that's why it's very vital for me. To continue to renew my mind and find out what these things are. Because if not, I'll never get out of that. Because really, truly, that's bondage. Like I said, it leads me to where I'm miserable. And, but, you know, there's a way out of that. That's my point. You know, so... When we're struggling through that, my encouragement is that there's a way out of it. You know, that's the most important thing, and that is by renewing our minds, looking at what it is, and then looking at what love is so that we can experience that. Therefore, as we do that, we now gain discernment to where we begin to deal with it right here and now. You know, but it's a growing process. And it can and will be overcome if we, you know, if we get into that word and we trust the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, William. Go ahead, Michelle.
Oh, yeah. This is a real, you know how we all have those verses that are really core to our lives, life verse in the Lord. This is it for me. And it's because in my young Christian life, though I love the Lord, I lost the battle to so many sins, and I gave up on myself. And when the Lord began to restore my life, he taught me, and it was like somebody throwing a life raft to me, a drowning person, and began to open up the scriptures that it's by the Spirit. And I thought, oh, it's not me, because I can't do it. I'm a failure. I was a miserable wretch failure to the point of quitting, because I didn't know that it was by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that he would give me a new heart, that he would give me a new mind, that he would break the chains of addiction, that he would deliver me and pull me out of the pit of alcoholism and break off lust and break off cigarette smoking and change every desire in my heart that's wrong. And one of the things I love too, and that's exactly what he did. And from then I began to learn to live by faith, because you live by the Spirit through the Word of God and standing on it and dwelling in it. And, you know, faith, the Spirit operates through faith. So this was a lifesaver to me. And I had a dream one night years ago, and I was shooting an old man with blanks. And every time I pulled the trigger, he would wince like he was about to get shot. And then it'd be a blank, and then he'd look relieved. And then I'd pull the trigger again. And then he was bracing for the bullet to come out, and it'd be a blank. And I said, Lord, I'm dreaming of shooting old men now. Like, what is wrong with me? And right after I said that, it was like, that's what happens when my people try to live in their own strength. They're shooting blanks at the old man, the old nature. It's only by my Spirit, like Missy said, that we mortify the flesh. And praise God. That's the cross. That's the risen Savior in us. And that when he gives us, when we have the Spirit, that it lusts against the flesh. And I don't want to do what I used to do. There is no battle. I don't want to smoke. Lust is not a problem for me at all. No, I don't go tempting it and then doing weird things. I stay far from sin, but it's not, the battle's not there. It's been won. It's Christ in me. So that gets me wanting to preach. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Michelle. Anybody else? Well, I made a few notes on this one. It says, how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, it told us how. It said, if you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to be doing the Bible, like Missy was talking about. And when you do the Bible, you're going to be so busy doing the do's of the Bible that you won't have time for the don'ts. So that's what I had written down here. Walking in the Spirit is doing the do's. Okay, anyone else? All right. Yeah, right. Go ahead, brother.
Well, with what you just said, I've been contemplating that for the last 10 minutes or so. And, you know, when you go back to Exodus 20 and you read the Ten Commandments, you know, the first many are relationship with God. And then the ending or the balance or the don'ts in particular are the relationship with man. So you're right. If we have the Spirit of the Lord in us, then we don't have to worry about the don'ts. Yep. And Galatians is, I think, kind of focusing in on the relationship of man in particular, because in verse 13 at the end it says, but through love serve one another. So this is the relationship of the man, of people. And this is where the fulfillment of the law is saying that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now in Matthew, what you just quoted, where Jesus says the greatest command was love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then the second was, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And the two of those combined, I think, represent the totality of what we would say would be the Ten Commandments. Loving the God first, and being able to love your neighbor as yourself, which is that fulfillment. So I saw verse 14 as the fulfillment of the aspect of loving your neighbor, which is the second part of the totality of the commands. That's what I wanted to say.
Amen. All right. Yes, you're exactly right. All right. Anyone else from 16? All right, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. All right, anybody got something they'd like to say about that one? Constant war going on, isn't there? Yeah, Missy.
Makes me think of it in Romans 7 where it says, the good that I want to do, I don't do, but the evil that I don't want to do, this I do. So it makes me think of. I don't know if it really applies, but, you know.
It does.
Yeah, I thought it did. But anyway, these are contrary one to another, that ye may not do the things that ye would. I'm yes, sorry, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then if you go on to, who will deliver me from the body of this death, you know? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then you go into Romans 8:1. Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has made me free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, which is the law of the law of death. You live by the Spirit of God. Everything's running together now. Now I can't quote it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Anyway. So
in order, how do we kill that flesh?
Sword of the Spirit. The word of God.
By obeying the word of the Lord.
Mind renewal, right? With the word
right.
of
God. Yes.
And when you renew your mind with the word of God, the lust of the flesh goes to the back seat. Then it goes out the trunk. Then it goes out the car or the temple. So
That's what I was saying, brother, is that I had to experience the misery of the flesh. You know, it's like that one scripture that says, he who has suffered according to the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, I had to go through a lot of suffering first in my life.
Amen. We all do. Because we don't learn until we start reading and studying the Word of God and getting that Word in us and breaking down those strongholds that have been brought into our mind. That's what mind renewal is breaking those old traditional strongholds of fleshly thoughts down by the Word of God, as Missy was talking about, taking that sword and blacking it.
Because I'll tell you, I didn't come to the Word of the Lord because I'm Mr. Virtue. I came to the Lord because I was beaten down and living a life according to the flesh, which was sin and death. You know, and then the Lord came in and drew me and then said, hey, there's a better way.
Amen. Oh.
And now you're Mr. Virtue.
now I have virtue living in me.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Which gives me the grace to discern, you know, do I want to stay close to the love of my life, or do I want to go back to that misery? I can always go back to that misery, believe me.
Don't do that. You're Mr. Virtue now. That's all I'm saying is you're Mr. Virtue because that's what you were given. Amen. Virtue.
Amen.
Because that's what you have, and that's the witness you will be. And of course, it's a process of progress, like you said, but it's there and it's for us and we should live it because it does come through the knowledge of glory and virtue. So as it says, as our church father Peter said to us in his writings, in his letters, praise God.
So. Amen. You know, think about this for a moment. We have choices that we make every day. We had choices we could make every day as a lost person, as a son of the devil. And now we have choices that we can make as a son of God. Now, it's whether or not we want to follow the Lord more than we want to follow the flesh. You don't have, and I'm just throwing it out, I'm not saying anybody is, so let me clarify it, but I'm just using this as a point to make a point. You don't have to steal. You don't have to be a thief. You choose to be a thief. You don't have to be a drunk. You don't have to be those things that we just got through reading about earlier, the fleshly things. Any of those things you don't have to do. You choose to do them. Now, you can choose to do what the Word of God says, and that's what we're doing. I know and I understand that the flesh overtakes us sometimes, but we choose what we want to do. Does that make sense? It's an obedience thing. That's what God was talking about. His love was. His love is obedience to him to do the things that he wants us to do, not the things he don't want us to do. And so it's a conscious effort on our part to do those things that he wants us to do. And that's where somebody said something about, what's that word? Discipline. That discipline is where that comes in, and the discipline is the Holy Spirit's conscious in our, you know, his bearing in our heart. So don't go that way. Go this way. Go this way. Go this way. Go the way of the Word. And which one we choose is what we do. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, twice in Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 3 and 7, it says, the Holy Spirit saith, if ye shall hear my voice, harden not your hearts. And this is a witness of the Holy Spirit that's in you. So when you run into someone who's a mover and shaker to pass abortion, for instance, and they have no remorse for what they've done, you know, and they claim to be a Christian, and they're not moved by the Holy Spirit, not even to have the fear of the Lord. So if you read all the verses there after that, if it's the Holy Spirit saying this, then how come they don't hear? You know, we talk about ears that hear, and they don't want to hear this. And there's quite a few verses there. And it starts out in 3 and 7 that the Holy Spirit saith. You know, that doesn't stop at the end of 3. It goes on into 4 for the rest, both ways in the Bible. So this is why we need the Holy Spirit to remind us of everything he taught us. So you don't harden. You're in this wilderness like the Jewish people were with Moses. And you're supposed to listen to Moses. You're supposed to listen to Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. You know, you listen because the Lord fulfills the law and the prophets in you. And there was some sort of discussion here as to Moses being a prophet and Isaiah being a prophet. But even Jesus was referred to as a prophet. And some people think that that's all he is. And John the Baptist is a prophet, and he's coming again. And, you know, we all have our church fathers, the apostles that we all know and love and read about every day. And this is even something in accordance that's what's going to be fulfilled in the future, is that which was in the past. And these individuals are corporate bodies. You could see the difference between these apostles, Peter and John, and how they interacted. And that's the diversity of each person coming to the same conclusion in Christ. But it doesn't take away their personality of Jesus. If you have Jesus, he could have a different personality or express himself differently from time to time. The same way the Lord would start out with a manifestation of his power so that you can witness to this person. And then on another occasion, he might start with the word as he did a few times in the book of Acts. You know, he went to one city and he started out, bang, I'm going to heal this guy that was crippled from a woman's womb. And the city he went to before, he starts with the word, and then he does the manifestations through the apostle. And it's all choreographed by the Lord. He controls it all. And he moves to, oh, I wish I could remember, where the cloud lifts off and goes and moves when they were in the wilderness to the next place where the tent is supposed to go, and then it stays there, and it could stay there for a whole year until he moves off to the next place. And it's sort of very repetitive where it says that. I think it's in the book of Numbers somewhere. This is what we do. We follow this cloud. They had a cloud that they could see to follow, and we have a reminder through the Holy Spirit. It's like it says in John 14, 26. So this witness is really a witness of our rest that we're supposed to be in. We rest like Abraham rested. You know, man was supposed to rest when God made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Shem, Ham, Japheth, Noah, and all the ladies that were there. And that was everybody on the earth. And they all went and lived in different cities and different countries all over the world. But that covenant is still supposed to be followed. And it says there that God's going to see to it. So all man had to have was faith. Way back there. Faith in God that he was going to do this covenant, that he was going to do it. And that's way back in Genesis chapter 9. And, you know, we're the descendants through Noah, which is Seth. And we're not supposed to kill anybody, because that's one of the commands he gave to our ancestors right off the boat. I'm not talking the Mayflower, I'm talking Noah's Ark. And we've done the same mistake that happened just before the flood. The people have done the same mistake just before the flood. And you just see the progress of how man stretched out from there. And he's cut. How do you get all these different religions when you were all from the same family in the beginning? You know, and in the past, you know, around Abraham's day, I would say it was not that likely a thing that people would do, is go out and make war and kill people. So it regressed, man regressed very much so this way. Anyway, that I think that my witness, you know, is his witness in you. It's my witness in 1 and 8 of Acts. That witness, I really highlighted that, put a whole bunch of different color asterisks beside it, because that witness there is what we're talking about. And it's not us, it's the rest through God in us. And the more you think of that, you just have to rest and give God the control of it in you. Because that, we get all excited when he moves and does something, but that's what it is. It's his witness through us. It's not something we do. It's like he's controlled. You know, you could learn something from the people who play those video games, because they call it a joypad, and there's a wire that goes right through to you, and you control the avatar. Well, this is what the Lord has with us, you know, he could either send, if he plays with his right hand, you're good, because that's where the good is. But if he has to use the evil on you to teach you something, you should know that this is wrong. Man's consciousness is gone for this now. You know, the consciousness is that Abraham had, you know, he didn't have law. He knew something was wrong in Sodom and Gomorrah. People don't know that now. Why? They might have it by law, at least. At least they have something if they have it by law. But what do you do when they take away the law of it from the people? So I think this witness of the Holy Spirit is super important, super. It's how we do everything for the Lord. It's how everything was done, and it's all glory to him, because we just rest. Our work is to rest. That's what I was told by David, and I went, hey, yeah. And then when you think about that for a while, and you find the right verses, it really gets you excited. Especially like for the time we live in now. Like, I don't know about you guys, but you know what Isaac was going through, everyone goes through that. Like I'm battling some things, and I'm going, well, where's this coming from? Like, this is ridiculous. You know, anyway, praise God. I talked too much. I pray that the Lord would work in us all to have this witness so abundantly in us and working so well through us, because that's the only way it can be done. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. No, you don't talk too much. You do fine. You're speaking scripture. Praise God. All right. Anyone else?
You know, you can't bite your own back, so don't bite anyone else's.
That's good saying. Okay. Number 18. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So we talked about being led by the Spirit. I'm gonna go ahead and go down to number 19, 20, 21. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Number 19. Now the works of the flesh, this is the works of the flesh, y'all, are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorceries, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envies, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarned you, as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is key right there. Now the works of the flesh, not Satan, the flesh, are manifest, which are these: fornication, and it goes through the whole list again, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Does anybody see anything there? Yes, Claire.
One thing that's coming to me is that we sometimes give the enemy a little bit more credit than is due, right? It's only going to take one angel to knock him out at the end of it. But we are the problem. This is the problem. And the thing that actually puts the fear of God into me is I can look at all of those things there, and I've got examples of what they look like in the spirit and in the physical. But the thing that causes them all is that idolatry thing. So how do you know if you have an idol? Because it's above God, right? So it's the thing that you esteem, you make it your God. So how will you, unless you are led by the Spirit, unless you are seeking him diligently, unless you are willing to put away all of those things, I don't know that you'd ever know if you have an idol. But the, I mean, do you know what I mean? We know that we know when we have idols because the Lord reveals it to us, because we do those. We put that work in. When I say work, I mean the spiritual disciplines and the rest, so that those works of the flesh become known to us, so that we can put those idols on the altar. But it is a hard thing to figure out what your own idols are. And it might seem benign. It does, you know, as I love these testimonies of everyone, because it's a beautiful thing to know that there's deliverance from alcoholism, and, you know, but there are a lot of people sitting here that have been, of which I'm probably not one, but there are people who are sitting here who have been brought up in Christian homes, you know, who never had a sin appetite for those things. They didn't have those things, but that doesn't make them more holy than anyone else. That doesn't make them better, because all of these things that are listed in these three verses, humans do, if not for the Holy Spirit. So it's just it's a very fearful thing for me to talk about idols, because you don't know what they are sometimes, because you don't even know that you're serving them.
That's a good analogy of what we're looking at right here. The works of the flesh, our flesh is the enemy. You know, I've heard people, I've talked to people, you know, well, I'm a good person. I don't worship the devil. It doesn't say anything about here about the devil's going to send you to the hell. He don't care. As long as he can have somewhere that he can hide in your body, that's what he wants to do. He don't care if you go to hell or not. He's just looking for a place to get in and do his nasty work. He just needs a house. The flesh is what sends us to hell. And being, now I'm talking to myself too. The works of the flesh is what sends us to hell. It's not, doesn't say anything about Satan in there, best I could tell. Yeah. So, what we've been talking about tonight in these last few verses is telling us that they that do that, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's the works of the flesh that sends us to hell. It's the works of the Spirit that keeps us from it, and it's the works of the Spirit that helps us to overcome these idols that Clara was talking about in our life. When I got through looking at this and I saw that where it said, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and he was talking about the works of the flesh, I said, oh my gracious. Anybody see this in here like I'm saying it?
Oh, yeah, brother. I felt it.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Carol, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not walking anymore, so can you hear me better?
Oh, yeah, we don't. Yeah, that's good. You sound great. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I my sense is to go into the idol portion. When I went through walking with Jesus, which led me out of the marriage, it was so dramatic and big and huge, right? I remember negotiating with the Lord. I said, you know, I don't think I'm ready to give up my glass of wine. I was having one glass of wine to calm me down every night as I was going through a big change, right? And so I made a deal with the Lord, and the deal was, give me a year. And God is so, I just want to say, before I tell you the scary part, he's so gracious and amazing and wonderful and magnificent and formidable and filled with grace and holiness and mercy and love for us that are in bondage. And so when it came to the anniversary of our year, I had a glass of wine and I go, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. So I'm right there with you, Claire, about, you know, it is the Holy Spirit. He really, and all of us, we're talking about that tonight, how he helps us. So what happened is I don't even have a sip. Well, yeah, I have a sip. Sorry, because that was very dramatic what happened. I took a sip. And all of a sudden, my body became invaded by very scary things. And I knew that I was under attack by Legion. I think I'm going to go as much to say that. And I remember going, I don't understand. How did this happen? I had one sip. I looked at the bottle, I looked at the glass thinking, you know, because I knew that I must never get drunk. That God had convicted me, do not get drunk ever. And I had a glass and it was there and I had only a sip. So I knew I had scripture in me and that scripture said, submit yourself to the Lord. I threw myself on the ground and I started to repent. I said, Lord God, I am so sorry. Forgive me. And Satan left and all of his minions left and the torment left, the scariness went away. And I didn't even ask him about it that night because I was too terrified what had happened. But the next morning in prayer, I said, Lord, what was that? And he says, my grace is sufficient. I've had my grace on you. Alcohol doesn't work with you. It opens up the door to demons. And he said, I've kept that door closed for a year. So I just removed my grace for a moment. So it's not the alcohol that makes you crazy. It's what comes with it, right, into your body. It's an open door. And I want you to just worship me and bless me. So he showed me that was an idol, but he allowed me to have it for that year to transition out of big changes in my life. So it was magnificent. So he scared me straight, but it was beautiful at the same time. It was filled with grace. It was filled with mercy and quick deliverance. And I, of course, threw away that bottle and I never touched it again. So, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't put that sign out in front of those stores that says spirits for nothing. Amen. That was, you know, Carol, I had a problem. With, of course, I didn't think I did at the time, with not so much as whiskey or anything like it. It was beer. I liked my beer. But when I got saved, the Lord just took that away from me immediately. And I am so grateful that he did because, man, a good hot day, I could put down a beer or two or 14 or 89, whatever. But he immediately took that away from me, that like for a beer. And man, that was awesome. Yeah, Michelle.
I know I'm talking and chatting a lot, but it's like my most passionate subject, but I just wanted to say that's the law of the spirit right there in action, just taking away that desire.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Okay. Anyone else? I'm going to hold off on doing the rest of them. What time is it? Oh, we may have time. We got plenty of time. Has anybody got any questions on those three verses that we just read about the works of the flesh? And what they'll do to you. Okay, here we go to the good parts. Thank you, Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's very lovely. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Let me get on the ASV just a moment. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How many of those are there? Let's see. Love, 1. Joy, 2. Peace, 3. Long-suffering, 4. Kindness, 5. Goodness, 6. Faithfulness, 7. Meekness, 8. Self-control, 9. Kind of goes along with the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't it? How many gifts of the Spirit are there? What are y'all chatting about there? You got me worried. Oh, okay, good, kids. All right. So we can say pretty much it, you could say, look and check them out. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. They'll go along with the gifts of the Spirit. Anybody want to say anything about those two verses there before we move on to the next one? And they that are of Christ Jesus, Lord of God, have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. Anybody got a comment on that one? Yes, Claire.
I wrote this down from, I think it was George. Yeah, it was George. But he said, like, but I'm probably going to get it wrong because I can't read my writing. So he said with those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace is towards God. And then long-suffering, kindness, and goodness is towards others. And then faithfulness, meekness, and self-control is what we master at the end. And that's been such a helpful thing for me to just, and I think I actually did get it right. But thank you to George for saying that all those weeks ago, because it puts things in perspective. And then he followed that up with saying joy, which is, you know, Jesus, others, you. So the pithy little things, but very, very wise. And it's, it just helps one to get into that mode very quickly.
Glad you brought that up. I had forgotten he'd said that. That's awesome. Thank you, George. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, you read 24 and it says crucified, and that's your rest. That's your work. Well, it's not your work, but you're his workmanship to do that rest.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I'm just curious if I just think about now that I'm older, I feel like the Lord's giving me more strength to do these things, to put the flesh to death. But when I was younger, you know, my friends wanted to go do something, I wanted to go do it with them. And it was harder to fight that flesh at the time. And is it just me or that the Lord seems to give us that strength later in life rather than earlier in life? Because it just feels like all those kids that are in college and in high school, they just, I don't know, it's tough then. It's a tough time.
Amen. It is. You know, something that I was thinking about while you were talking. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. How many of you have been in the Word of God? Boy, just doing great. And somebody comes in and says, come on, let's go do this. Or somebody else will come in and say, come on, can we do this? And you say, oh, man. And go with them rather than staying in the Word where you were with God. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of doing that.
Oh, yeah. Especially when I was younger.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of young, but I still get distracted. I noticed the other day when one of the brothers or something wants to come up and want me to go somewhere with them, you know, and I'll just do it just to appease them, also my flesh too, but it just distracts from what I was doing. It takes me out of that realm, that spiritual realm that I was in with the Lord. And I'm suddenly here just in the last little bit have decided that God is more important than going and doing something with somebody while you're doing your daily spiritual walk with the Lord, getting that word from Him. That's the most important thing right now to do, is to be in that, talking with the Lord, and spiritual meeting with Him is the most important thing right now.
Amen, brother.
So I repent. Lord of God, I repent. Yeah, Nick. You got something you want to add?
Yeah. Brother? I'm going up tomorrow to visit with my grandma at the hospital. So just pray for a trip up there and back.
And okay.
So we can get a good testimony with her and so.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for protecting Nick all the way up there and back, having a good time while he's there, in Jesus' name. Because Mama's coming to Tennessee. Praise God. All right, Nick, you have a great time up there, bro.
Hey, team.
Well, it looks like we've run out of time. Dadgum, like time goes quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All right, Missy, go ahead.
I'd like some agreement and prayer. I've been battling the enemy all day, trying to put some pains in my back. Let's just put it that way. And it's lies. And I just command them to go. And I command all, forbid any witchcraft against me in the name of Jesus. And I don't receive this. It's not mine. Jesus bore it. And I am already healed. And these lying symptoms must go in Jesus' name. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, I'm healed and that you bore it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that Missy and Isaac both are healed of that. In the name of Jesus, that no more pain is evident in their backs. They're going to sleep good tonight. Bless God, and not going to have this problem again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Y'all receive it. All right.
Amen, brother.
One more thing. We have on agenda for Thursday night that world traveler and speaker, one Malcolm. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to bless Malcolm with the anointing. He's going to have a good word. Right, Malcolm?
Front row seats are $100.
Well, praise God. All right. Well, a temple.
Payable to UBM.
Amen. All right. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful night. Thank you for leading us all, Lord, and bringing out some wonderful revelations in these Galatians 5 verses. Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you that you are bringing us into that realm of spirit walk, where the only thing we listen to is you, Lord, and when we say you, we're not talking about anything other than what the Word of God says, and lead us and guide us through the Word. And we praise you, Father, for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who does lead us and guide us in those ways. And Father, we thank you for the time that when we come to that point to where the gifts of the Spirit are evident in every one of us as a daily walk with you, Lord. And we praise you for that. Jesus' mighty name, 100-fold fruit. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night, y'all. God bless you. Woohoo. Amen.